Wednesday, Shara Avodas Elokim, Yom Dalid L'Parshas Truma. We're starting Perek Gimel in Shara Avodas Elokim. Chof Tes, Shvat, Tov Shin Ayin Hei. Okay, Shara Avodas Elokim. We're up to Perek Gimel. The Psicha laid down the foundation that our Avodas Elokim is to be based on gratitude, and he goes through different relationships and shows how each one calls for and indeed brings to Hakaras HaTov gratitude, a debt of gratitude, a feeling of gratitude. And he says, like, all of those things have some element of self-interest, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, has no element of self-interest. And that's the psicha. Then he says, okay, in Perigal, so it's based on that. He will elaborate on that. That's just in the psicha. He then says that our debt of gratitude should lead us in Peregrishon, he says that really this should come naturally, one would think. Hashem gives us so much, and we acknowledge the existence of Hashem. That was in Shara Yichud, right? You can't start without acknowledging Hashem's existence, and that He's the master of all, and the creator of all, and the enabler of all. More than enabler, He's the effector of all. So really everything, we should all be like Avraham Avinu. You know, you go and you think about it and you say, hey, let me acknowledge Hashem, let me be aware of His existence, because really all the mitzvahs boil down to that acknowledgement, as we'll learn today in Perek Gimel. And the Ramban says it, again, the Ramban says it, the other Shmos, that all the mitzvahs, the purpose of everything is to lead us towards acknowledging Hashem's reality. They're all pushing us in that direction. You say, well, why don't we just do that a whole day? Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So anyway, he says, but that's really what we're aiming for. And there's two ways to do that, he says in the first parak. He says you can do that through your seichel. Just, you know, you figure it out for yourself. Or you could be led to it through specific actions. And that's what the Torah is. The Torah says, you know, take challah, take tumas and maestras, bench, daven, eat matzah on Pesach, have a mezuzah, tefillin, all the things of the Torah. Benot machavero, we explain, is also a way of emulating Hashem and acknowledging Hashem as the no saint, and we want to emulate Him. And the Rambam says that really all benot machaveros could be are under the general heading of halachta bedrachav, emulating Hashem. So, but the Torah could lead us there. So what do you need a Torah for? Why can't you say, oh, man is a rational being, we're sure that he's going to do the right thing. I'm not really going to answer that because we all know the answer. But he says the answer in Perek Beis. He says it's not going to happen. And he gives three reasons why the Torah has to give, why Hashem had to give a Torah with commands and demands and prohibitions, and it had to give us guidelines, what we can do and what we can't do, everything leading towards acknowledgement of Hashem and great and gratitude. It says the three reasons. The first reason was that there's always a battle. The goof doesn't want to acknowledge anything. The goof wants to do what it wants to do. Man is a pleasure-seeking animal, and you know, once you have to acknowledge someone else, you have to acknowledge your dependence, which is why the word hoda'ah means to thank and to acknowledge and also to admit, because you have to admit your ultimate dependence. It's a very difficult thing to do. I'm not in control of my life. I'm not in control of anything. That's hard. It's a hard bridge to cross. And the goof, but the seichel says it's true, but the goof wants pleasure. The goof wants to do whatever it wants to do. So number one is the goof has a head start, runs up the score before the seichel, before the seichel wakes up and stretches its limbs, right? The person, at least two decades head start. Number two is that the goof is on its home turf, and we all know about the home court advantage if you follow sports. So the goof is on the home court of the goof. We live in a physical world. The seichel, if you remember, we have this idea in Shachesh HaNefesh, the seichel, the neshama, is very, very lonely and feels forlorn and doesn't feel at home and just feels out of place, out of sorts, and they're not comfortable. So the goof has the home court advantage. And number three is that the goof is always being used as a person goes through life doing the things he has to do to stay alive. So you're eating and you're sleeping and you're doing other things that are very physical and very pleasurable, right? And that's what we do all day. So he says that it's a well-known klal that as you exercise any muscle, it gets stronger. We're always exercising the goof. And the seichel, once in a while we use our seichel too, but it's like far behind in the exercise department. So that's the third reason. So therefore the Torah had to involve the seichel in goof things. That's what it did. So the Torah had to, first of all, the Torah had to tell you, okay, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. You can't just leave it up to you. It's not gonna work. So the Torah gives commands, it gives harva onesh. It says, you're not allowed to eat this, and you're not allowed to wear this, and you're not allowed to be married to such a person, and you're not allowed to do things whenever you want to do them. And, everything's limited, everything's gulim. And he doesn't elaborate upon it here, but he elaborates it in Shar HaPrishus, which is that really the Torah is essentially an exercise in self-control. I'm sorry, I apologize. It's an exercise in self-control. So that's the solution. The solution to the problem is the Torah, but the point is, and the goal that we want to reach is, it's just a booster shot. It's boosting the seichel, because the seichel is at a disadvantage. So the Torah was given to inject seichel into our everyday lives, force us to use the seichel constantly, force us to use the guf with seichel. Because I have to figure out, is this mutter to do or usher to do? Right? So that's I have to inject the seichel into my goof decisions. I can't just do what I want. So that evens out somewhat the playing field. That's why Hashem gave the Torah.
Okay, so he talks about goof and seichel, but what about soul, like
the soul, when soul, I say seichel, the soul, the shama, I'm not getting into that different. We're talking seichel, more spiritual concepts, and the guf is the physical of the person. Okay, so it's not a Perek Shlishi now. The foundation remains that I'm expressing my gratitude. I'm acknowledging that Hashem is the source of all. But it still remains true that whether, so you say, there's an approach, I could be like Avraham Avinu, just do everything through Seichel. Then Hashem gives us the Torah, because it's not going to work. He gave three reasons why it's not going to work. But still, it doesn't change the essential nature of what we're doing. It just puts us in a place where it makes it more possible to do. But the essential nature of Gedder Avodah, Avodah is a Lokir. What does it mean to serve Hashem? Who should Gedder Avodah? It still remains, and this is an extremely important point. Chabdalovis is making what does it mean to serve Hashem? Hashem doesn't need anything, it doesn't even need to serve Him. But what does it mean to serve Hashem? Avodah Hashem. So he says here in this first sentence of Perek Shlishi, he really defines the term, a very important definition. It fits in with everything we've been saying. He says, the Geder HaAvoda is Kenias, Misha Metivan Lo, Lemetiv, the Tova Shiyagmaleu Al Tovaso Kviyacholto. Acknowledgement, if you do something for me, and I don't, I have no demands on you. You didn't owe it to me. You did something to me. So I'm in your debt. That's how Hashem wired a person. He wired it to the reason that this would lead a person to have Avodas Hashem. But that's how we're wired, and we talk about a debt of gratitude. I'm in your debt. What can I do? So Avodas Hashem means that Kniya. Kniya means submission, humility. I am nichna. I submit to you. I owe you something. That acknowledgement that everything we have is from Hashem. That's it. That's Avodas Hashem. And everything is just ways of reaching that point, or ways of expressing that point, or ways of ways of reaching it, or ways of doing it. You know, to express it in action. The goof also should be doing it. But that's so. Avodas Hashem means Chayus Halvavos. Chayus Halvavos holds. Avodas Hashem means the acknowledgement that everything we have is from Hashem. The gratitude, the debt of gratitude, the gratitude, and then the debt of gratitude. Because when you really feel gratitude, you feel a debt of gratitude. So that kaniya, that submission, that feeling of what can I do for you? How can I ever repay you? How can I that's acknowledgement. That's Avodas Hashem. Gedder Avodas Kniyas, Mishamativan Lo Lameitiv. The kniya, the submission, the humility of the person who's the recipient of the beneficence of whoever is being native to that person. The tova shigmaleo al tovasa kfi yacholto. Meaning, I am paying you back. I am paying my debt of gratitude. This is what I can do for you. So you say, what can I do for Hashem? It's just a pure acknowledgement. This is what Hashem wants from us. He doesn't need that either, obviously. But that's as close as we can come to saying that's what we're doing for Hashem. Right? Because it needs us to acknowledge. That's what we're saying. Now, does Hashem need the acknowledgement? Obviously not. He doesn't need the acknowledgement. But that's what he wants. He wants the acknowledgement. So that, and it's acknowledgement. And I could choose to deny, but I affirm. I affirm I'm getting it from Hashem. I submit to Him. I am batel to Him. I'm nichna to Him. That's Avodas Hashem. Now there's two ways to reach that, he says. One is when you say to your child, say thank you to Uncle, to Tante Mary, who gave you this beautiful present. Say thank you, or you're going to have to go to sleep tonight early. But you can't stay up late with the adults. Say thank you. That's one way to reach it. You put a gun to someone's head, so to speak. And before we left, Chagavava says that's what the Torah is doing. The Torah says you have to say thank you to Hashem, you have to take challah, you have to daven, you have to have a mezuzah. I want you to do all these things or else I'm going to punish you. And if you do it, I'm going to give you Gan Eden. And that's what, so we're essentially, that's one way to reach that Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem that's born of being compelled by Schar V'Onesh. Someone's making me do it, threatening me, rewarding me. But that's essentially an outside compulsion. I'm being forced to acknowledge, I'm being forced to have this feeling. And maybe I won't have it, maybe I can fake it. He's going to talk about it later. But even if I do end up feeling it, I'm going to punish you if you don't think about what a wonderful game Tante Mary bought you, and thank her for it. You're going to be punished. So it's not coming from me. It's being imposed upon me. That's one way. V'asheni k'nias chova v'din, meaning meaning it's called for, it's fitting, thank you Dr. Mary, wow, what a wonderful gift, thank you. And it just comes from inside of you. No one has to compel you to feel the thanks. No one has to compel you to act as if you feel it, and hopefully that will come to feeling it. You talk to feel it. You want to reach the goal of the debt of feeling a debt of gratitude, and you can reach it through forcing someone to act that way and promising him a reward if he does it and a punishment if he doesn't do it. And you can reach it through, again, your own contemplations and your own thinking about it. So it dawns on you, like, then you really, so how can I thank Hashem? And then Nachman must speak him. How can I thank Hashem for this, for that? And like, I don't have words to thank him. I don't have enough deeds. There's not enough time. There's not enough time in the day to thank Hashem properly for everything he's doing for me. Kneos chol v'din. V'gadu l'romein l'mishin nechno atlo. Yeah, you want to ask a question? No. As achelik harishon. So the first type. The first type is Torah. The mitzvahs in the Torah. Who hakniel okel shetia mitzad ha'ora haknuya asher zacharnu, what we mentioned, ha'ora toronis, we called it. The rules. Do this, don't do this. Shechiyuva miderech agmul va'onesh. Bolamazer bolamamor. And that hooks up the schar va'onesh. The Torah is schar va'onesh. Because the Torah is an outside force telling me what to do. It's not springing up from inside, within me. It's telling me what to do. And it's promising me a reward if I do it. It's threatening me with an onus if I don't do it. I still reach that point, but it's not as, you know, it's not as pure, it's not as sincere, it's not as heartfelt. I didn't reach it on my own. I had someone, you know, force me. Acknowledge, thank. So eventually you get there. But that's the way number one. He says that schar v'onesh, that's the Torah. But v'akniyah shetiyah machmas oras ha-seichel, av'lachelik ha-sheni, he ha-kniyah shetiyah mitzad he'orah ha-tchula v'seichel. He'orah sichlis, he calls it. He's going to be talking about he'orah toronis, inspiration born by the mitzvos ha-Torah, and he'orah sichlis, that comes from my seichel itself, works it out. This is a natural, as I say, like the DNA is built into a person. That's you acknowledge what you have from the giver. He said, "Ustei akniyos meshubachos. Don't have chalish sadas. They're both fine. If you end up listening to the Torah and doing everything the Torah says, you're going to get a one-way ticket to Gan Eden. You're going to be sitting pretty. It's going to be wonderful." They're both going to take you to the gates of paradise. They're both going to lead there. But, you know, if you had to say, you know, which is the goal and which is the way of getting there, the goal is the ha'orah sichlis. The goal is the feeling of gratitude, the acknowledgement. Now, the way to get there is the ha'orah toronis. But you want to reach the goal, the ultimate goal. It's a stepping stone. How you get to that madrega is by doing the mitzvahs and thinking about them and thinking what it means to you and why that connects you to Hashem, and eventually you get to the point where that's your main focus, is the getting close to Hashem through the mitzvahs. The one causes the other. There's a stepping stone from, I mean, the Torah, he's viewing the mitzvahs in the Torah, that's all he says in this sefer. There are a stepping stone to develop muna, avos Hashem, like you want to thank this wonderful being who has showered you with so much. But you get there by eating Pesach every Shabbos, eating matzah every Pesach, by having a mezuzah on your door, by doing all these things, you reach that madrega. But there are definitely two maslulim. One maslul called Ha'orah Satorah, and one called Ha'orah Saseichel. And now he's going to say, we know that anybody who has ever tried, let's say, to do anything with Ha'orah Saseichel, with philosophy, with theology, even with acknowledgement of thanks, if the person gets it right. But, and therefore wants to discard Chas V'Shalom doing the mitzvahs of the Torah, right? So history has shown the utter abject failure of any such movement. Any movement that says, you know, be a Jew at heart, even, the truth is they don't even do what you're supposed to do, there's no acknowledgement to Hashem, there's no anything. They just feel if you're a good person, that means being a good Jew, if you're a good person, and just be a good person, and that's really all the Torah wants from you. But even if you would do just emuna, even if you would just have the acknowledgement of which the Chazal Vavil says is the ultimate goal, and you say, I'm there, Rabbi, I'm there. And the Nachman must speak in the Holocaust of Hashem, like, okay, we'll say to him, so I don't want to eat matzah on Pesach, it hurts my teeth, I don't know, you know, like, what do I have to do that for? What do I have to, daven? So he says, it doesn't work. And history has shown it doesn't work, and he's going to give seven. So if he's going to give seven reasons for the supremacy, for the mila of each one over the other one, seven reasons why ha'ara sichlis is superior to ha'ara toranis, and seven reasons why ha'ara toranis is better than ha'ara sichlis, but throughout the idea is that certainly ha'ara sichlis is the goal. You want to reach that madrega where you feel that way, and certainly ha'ara toranis is the only stepping stone to reach the goal. Can't do it otherwise. Can't take shortcuts. If you take a shortcut, it doesn't work. Yeah.
But maybe I misunderstood, but you're saying both paths lead to the same end goal. Does that mean that some people will never ever reach that more spiritual, more
thinking,
thinking type of approach? The other ones
will
get there anyway, or
he says, listen, you're not going to go to, nobody's going to go to Gehenna if they faithfully kept all the mitzvahs in the Torah and never once thought about that it's a thank you to Hashem and don't feel gratitude to Hashem. But that's not the goal of the whole enterprise called the Bria. You'll stay out of trouble if you'll stay out of trouble. That's what he says. You'll stay out of trouble. You didn't do anything wrong. The Torah Lemaisa formulated that, but it's like it's a pity. It's a waste in a certain sense. It's almost as if I say, like you're doing it anyway. We say in Uvalutzio Leman Lo Nigalu Rik Lo Neleit La Behala. So think of somebody. I'll think from a man's perspective. Please forgive me. I'm a man. Right. I get up in the morning. Right. I got a lot of things to do, but no, got to daven, got to put on tefillin, have to say Kriyat Shema, daven with a minyan, hear Kriyas HaTorah, wear talis, wear tefillin. Like, so I'm doing that anyway. So I got to get out of bed, and I have to do that. What a pity and what a shame. That's why it's so wonderful to be learning Chavos Halavos with the Rambam Litowitz, because you say, wow, you can go through your whole life and not once think about what the real goal is. So okay, I'm doing it anyway. How much of a leap is it to already do what the Chayyus Halavas is saying is the foundation of it all, and say, you know, when I'm wearing tefillin, so I'm really, and you're supposed to be tefillin the whole day. I mean, you're supposed to be wearing tefillin the whole day. It's not a 20-minute, 30-minute business. It's a whole day. I'm walking around, and you can think of mezuzah. I call mezuzah the women's tefillin. Mezuzah is on the bias. I'm acknowledging Hashem, I'm acknowledging Hashem in my life. People think mezuzah is a shmirah. It's like having a double lock. Mezuzah is a declaration. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Schar v'onesh. It's a declaration of the first two parshiyos of Kriyat Shema. And you put it on the mezuzah of your house, and you walk in and you walk out, and the house is supposed to be imbued with that ruach of acknowledgement of Hashem. So like, if you have a mezuzah, and it's a kosher mezuzah, and you do it, and you check it with a sofer, and you buy, like, expensive mezuzahs, and then you swipe the credit card every time you walk by. You give a swipe, and you kiss it, And what a pity that you, it's a pity. It's like a person keeps Shabbos their whole life. They go to Rebbe Simolinowitz, it's a shiurim even, and they learn about Borer and Ofer and Vashel, and they rishon and klisheni and do that. And like a person go through their whole lives without once thinking that Shabbos is Kishesh Yisyonim Maso Hashem Maso Shemayim Maso Oretz Fayonach Be'em Hashvi. Think about it. Doesn't occur to him. It doesn't occur that I am hereby testifying that Hashem created the world. The world did not come about by itself. Hashem created the world. Now, you may say, well, yeah, but people go through their whole lives being from and not once thinking about that. There's no question in my mind. They don't think about it. Because they don't think about Hashem their whole lives. They think about the plan. This is like a little heresy, I'm sorry, but it's not heresy. They think about Shulchan Aruch, which is wonderful, and Mishnah Berurah, which is terrific, and Halacha, which is essential. But they forget, they really forget the Ikar. There's no pretty way of saying it. That's the truth. They're forgetting the Ikar. Now, it's not the Ikar in the sense that you're going to go to Gehenna, Chas V'Shalom, and you messed up your life, but it's like, it's a pity. It's such a shame. It's a crying shame. Because your whole life doing everything right and being Moser Nefesh for it. Right? You know, I'm wearing the right clothes and I'm not talking Lashon Hara and I'm not, you know, doing everything. You missed the whole thing. Because you don't learn Chavis HaLogos. You didn't realize, wow, the whole thing is acknowledgement of Hashem. So you go through Shabbos and you don't, really you don't internalize that message. Now, a person, you have to study and learn. Because you say, okay, Hashem made the world. Why is that such a big deal? Because once Hashem made the world, it changes everything. The enormity of that lesson, that the world is not Kadmon, but that Hashem created it, has so many ramifications, because that means the world is not Hefker. It means my life has purpose to it. Because if Hashem created the world, He had a purpose why He created the world. He didn't create the world. It's not chaos. He created it with a purpose, with a goal. Okay, what's the goal? My life all of a sudden has meaning. Because Hashem created the world, created me, and is in control of everything, and there's a plan and purpose. That's a basic given. So the person that doesn't believe that Hashem created a world will hold that the world is chaotic, has no plan or purpose, and basically I can do what I want. Because there's no point to anything. Why should I be good? What does good mean? Why should I do anything? Why anything? There's no... Once Hashem created the world, it's like, it changes. It's like, it's a different world. Hashem created the world is a purpose. I have to relate to that purpose. I want to find out what Hashem's plan is. I want to find out what Hashem wants from me. Or else, why did He create me? Everything you do is all of a sudden imbued with meaning. And if you just have that little, it's not little, right? If the world came about by itself, then, and that's why people are unhappy, and that's why people act like animals, because if there's no purpose to life, there's no purpose, so then there's no meaning to anything. So then I might as well just do what makes me feel good. Like, what do I care about anything else? Right? So in the olden days, up till our friend Darwin, or Marx, or Freud. So, though they have all the Zohar believed in Hashem, though they have the Zohar believed that the world had a creator and there's a purpose, and okay, they made a theological error, and they said, you know, He gave over the running of the world to this God, to that power, and to this. It's a halbatzar, you know. But nowadays, ever since what Darwin led to, and what Marx or Freud led to, and really what Marx led to, is atheism. Is that there are forces in the world that control the world, and there's no, the world always was, all the stuff they say. You can kasher it all, right? You can make Hagala or Livon, and you can kasher, but look what happened. I mean, so you could twist it and you can turn it and you can maneuver it, which is okay, and it's okay to do. But the essential effect of these shittas, Marx with history, with events, and Freud with the human, with Bechira, and Darwin with the creation of the world and Hashem, it had the effect of atheism in the whole world. Now it doesn't matter how many people respond to a poll, you go to church, like 82% go to church, or who cares. But the world is basically atheistic now. You listen to any radio, any newspaper, the whole halachic of the world is atheistic. And it really is in history, it's a relatively recent phenomenon. Relatively recent, like a few hundred years. Though the Avodah Zarah were like, you learn Nach, and you say, I'm doing Avodah Zarah, this is terrible, the Beis Hamikdash is getting Nechrav. They were from, They kept Shabbos, right? They were coming from a decent place. It's, don't get me wrong, it's us of a desire. But it's really, this is in many ways more insidious and more difficult to overcome. That you just live life as if there's nothing out there. There's just a black hole out there. And when you die, you know, so you just enter that black hole and it's all over. So you almost can't blame them for being as wicked as they are, for being as immoral as they are. If you don't believe in Hashem, the Creator, and there's a plan or purpose, it's like, why shouldn't they just do whatever is Ola al Rucham to do because they want to have some pleasure? Like, why not? It's certainly logical, right? But that's why just believing Hashem is the book. So, okay, getting back to... And that's what we do every Shabbos. And it's such a pity if we don't use Shabbos to recharge that energy. And really, it's, we say Kriya Shema, it's like more than Shabbos, right? Because the Torah knows, the goof wants what the goof wants. So you have to say Kriya Shema twice a day. And you have to have a mezuzah, you have to wear tefillin. Right? A man's wearing tefillin a whole day. And you have the mezuzah on your door. And you're supposed to think about what it says once in a while, and, you know, at least once in a while. And it works, hopefully. And you do this constantly, and then there's Yom Tov, there's Pesach, there's Shavuos, and Sukkot, and there's Yom Tov, and we're making 100 brachas a day, right? It's a battle. So that's the battle. Anyway, getting back to this, so the system is like this. We want to reach a goal. The goal is acknowledgement and gratitude. And feeling a debt of gratitude, that's Avodas Hashem, that debt. I owe you, Hashem, I owe you acknowledgement and thanks. You can do it through putting a gun to my head and making me go through the motions, and eventually it'll wear me down, and or I could really be holding them. So the one's called Ha'ora Toronis and Ha'ora Sichlis. And Ha'ora Toronis, you have no choice. You're in a box, and you have to follow the rules. It's somewhat robotic. Of course, every Shabbos you have to do the same thing, and you have to not do the same thing. There's no self-expression. Now, the truth is, in Yiddishkeit, whoever is really into it and has a little honesty to them knows how much self-expression there could be in Yiddishkeit. I mean, just look around. Nobody's the same. You have Hasidim, you have the Snagdim, you have all sorts of Hasidim, you have all sorts of Snagdim. Like, there's plenty of room for self-expression. Person could, within the Torah, there's so much latitude, that's what it has to be recognized. It's like a ton of latitude within the Torah. The Torah doesn't, so that if you're an outsider, so you're not all the Jews, like they're all just a bunch of robots, you know, but it's so not true. We know that. We know that every person's different, every family is different, every shul is different, then you have the sects and the groups. Because they were 12 shvatim, like the whole formation of Klal Yisrael was Bedavka, 12 shvatim forming one nation. Meaning, Hashem wants that diversity, because people are different, and He created them different, just like He created how many species of cockroaches? No, you won't want to walk into your kitchen after you hit enough. Like, I know He created like 60,000 species of cockroaches, but why do they all have to come to my kitchen for that convention? Why do they have to have that convention in my kitchen? I mean, the Bria, he talks about this in the beginning of Shaar HaBechinah, the diversity of in the world. You know, species and subspecies is like, again, we don't think about these things, so we're not involved from them. And the diversity of people. Some people are more artistically inclined, some people are more intellectually inclined, some people are good with numbers, some people are more drawn to Maisim Tovim, Chesed, some people are more drawn to Torah, some people are more drawn to Mitzvah, some people are more drawn to Davening, some people are more drawn to Benogam HaMokam, some people are more drawn to Benogam HaVeira. Like, everybody's different, and it's the formation, like in your rock bottom foundation, you have 12 shvatim, and the 12 shvatim form Klal Yisrael, right? So even at bedrock, you have diversity, And we all, and what pulls us together is Emunah. Right? That's what it is. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So there is plenty of diversity. But having said that, the Chavis HaLavis now gives two lists. One list, again, his picture is deservingly a goal. Or a Sichlis is the goal. There's definitely it's essential. You can only get there, and you will only get there, and you'll only be successful if you use the path of Ha'ara Toranis. If you try to avoid that path, you're going to miserably fail. That is the picture. It's essential, but it's only a stepping stone. He's not embarrassed to say that. One half of the sentence has to be, it's essential. Even though, again, people, here it's only a stepping stone, so right away people think I can avoid the stepping stone. Right? It's only a stepping stone. You know? See, it's not like that. It's essential, but it's only a stepping stone. You know? That's the dichotomy he sets up. And now he gives two lists. One is the seven reasons for the supremacy of Ha'ara Sichlis. What are its milas over Ha'ara Toranis? And then he makes a list of seven things, the supremacy of Ha'ara Toranis over Ha'ara Sichlis. So we're going to learn these two lists. Not today, all of it, but we'll start. but it doesn't, nothing he says affects the picture. The picture is goal, stepping stone being essential. And you can't do without it. Okay, number one, Echad Mehem. This is the supremacy of Ha'ara Sichlis. Let's remember that Ha'ara Sichlis is a Chovas HaLevavos, is in your lathe. Right? It's not in action. And Ha'ara Toranis is almost always in action. He says, Avoda Shatiya Me'ara Satora, the Avoda you do, again, Avoda meaning I show submission to Hashem. Efshah Shiyeh Odom Mechavim Bo L'Shem Shemayim, possible. Stranger things have happened. That when you do what you're doing, the Torah says you must take chal. So you say, I'm doing this, taka, because I'm chal Hashem Shemayim. Hashem wants me to take chal, and I'm doing it, for that purpose, to acknowledge that He gave me this, etc. But, you can be doing it because you're embarrassed not to do it. Your kids are going to ask you why you're not doing it. Your husband's going to ask you why you're not doing it. You want to be like your neighbors, you want to fit in socially, you want your kids to get shidduchim, you want your kids to get into school. There could be many, many ulterior motives. And ulterior motives for doing it. You can do things shalol lishma in Ha'ara Toranis. It's not a pure, it's not l'shem Hashem, it's a shalol lishma. You can easily do things shalol lishma. V'efshe shetiyah kavanos l'chanufa, to make someone think kindly of you, for the Shevach Bnei Adam, or maybe I want to flatter someone else, or I want to lend him, do a mitzvah of Machaveiro, not because Hashem wants it. I have nothing to do with Hashem, I'm disconnected from Hashem. I do it, Shalom Lishmon, and I disconnect. He says such a deep word. He says, because the Ha'ara Toranis, remember, is inextricably linked up to Schar Va'onesh, because it's an outside force telling me what to do, because it's not coming naturally. Someone's telling me what to do. How does someone tell me what to do? By threatening me with onesh if I don't listen, and schar if I do listen. So the whole thing is for my benefit. So he's saying, I don't want to use the word flawed, chas v'shalom, at the outset, even in its purest form, Ha'ara Toranis is done for sort of a shalol lishma reason. Now again, this is very subtle and very dark. Because if I say I'm doing mitzvahs because I want to go to Olam Haba, no one would dare call that shalol lishma. But I am doing it for selfish reasons. It's something I'm doing to myself. So the whole thing is like for myself. So it's only a skip and a hop to saying I'm going to do it so my kids should do good shiduchim, or I'm doing it because I don't want to look bad, or I'm doing it because I want to be socially acceptable. Or I'm doing it because I want to make the right connections in life, and my business will be successful. Because even at its purest form, it's not really pure, it's selfish. It's a very deep nekuda. Sharosha miyusan ala tocheles v'haraus It's rooted in self-interest. So if it's rooted in self-interest, because it's chayvonish, because it's an outside force, and how does an outside force get me to do something? It promises me a reward if I do it, and it threatens me with a punishment if I don't. So it's rooted in self-interest. So again, it's only a skip and a hop to more prosta self-interest. L'shem kavod, l'shem social standing, l'shem getting my kids into a school. But oras haseichel, you can't even talk about it. It's all in the mind. It's all what I think, what I feel, where I'm holding. I can't do that shalom lishma. I can't feel gratitude shalom lishma. I can say thank you shalom lishma, but Hashem tells me to daven to say halal on Yom Tov, right? According to the Rambam, according to those who hold it's a mitzvah in our Torah, it's a mitzvah certainly. So someone's telling me go say halal, go praise Hashem, okay? And if you don't, and if you do, wonderful. But then, so you can do a shalom lishma. But if I feel thanks, you can't feel thanks shalom lishma. It means you really feel it. So there's no shalom lishma angle to oras haseichel. It's either there or it's not there. But you can't fake it. You don't fall into the trap of faking it. You don't fall into the trap of shalom lishma. So that's one milah. Ha'oras haseichel will always be lishma. Will always be pure. I'm doing it because this is indeed how I feel. And the Torahness can easily be done shalom lishma because it's rooted. It's rooted in self-interest. It doesn't exist unless it's l'shem shemayim. Lo yisar b'ashum chone v'lo ziyuv. Doesn't mix into it any fakery, any falsehood, mitzad sheyis borba. No one's giving me cover or taking my kid into a school or sitting me in mizrach because of what I feel. No one sees it. Ki einam yusedas al tocheles al orud, because it's not rooted in self-interest, because it's not rooted in schar v'onesh. It's rooted in what I have come to realize. Like, wow, okay. I am so much in Hashem's debt. He gave me existence. He gave me life. He gives me everything. He lets me see. Just food. He made this whole world for me. And I have so many different kinds of apples and vegetables. Like, I get overwhelmed if you start thinking about it, which he teaches us to do in Shar HaBechina. So there's no scharvonish there. There it's how you're supposed to feel. So, see, and you can't do it shalom lishma. You can do shalom lishma, and you're always skirting the edges of that shalom lishma, because even in its best form, it's rooted in self-interest. It's chayv onish. Mashenka ha'ara sichlis is, it can't be shalom lishma. It can't. Not only can't it be, but it's not rooted in self-interest. It's rooted in my true feelings, my true emotions, what I truly feel about Hashem. So there's no like room. It's rooted well. It's in good solid roots, and the mela. That's the supremacy. That's the mela of that of auras. That's number one of seven of aura sichlus over aura taranis. Again, we're going to finish all seven mitzvashem. Mm-hmm. Then we learn the seven of the supremacy of aura taranis over aura sichlus. Mm-hmm. Stop here.